You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained each and every week, talking about the Montreal Canadiens. And we have arrived at the last podcast episode for the month of August, if you can believe it. It's hard to believe the summer is winding down, but things are just gearing up for the Montreal Canadiens, and we've got a lot to bring you today. For episode 363 of the Canadiens Connection podcast titled Habs Pre-Camp Buzz, the biggest roster questions. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host on today's show. And of course, each and every week, I'm joined in the studio by my co-host. He is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. How are you today? Welcome. It's going to be summer's coming to a close already.
It is. Nighttime temperatures are getting a little bit cooler. Mm. I wouldn't call it hockey weather just yet. But no, as you said, end of August.
Football starts next week.
Football starting. So fantasy football. I've had a couple of drafts, a couple more to go. That's with right. Some of our, certainly our Rocket Sports teams involved, but a lot of our listeners play fantasy football with us, and we're glad to see them again. Mm-hmm. And F1's back after their summer break.
That's right.
And
all sorts of things.
Lots of players now at Brassard on a regular basis. Summer's over.
Summer is over. But you know what? It was a good summer. We've been here each and every week. We know a lot of you have been here as well. Our numbers have just been, our listening downloads and so forth throughout the summer have just been off the charts. So thank you.
Skyrocketed. Yeah.
So thank you so much for spending your summers with us. And we look forward to continuing to have you with us each and every week as the season starts to ramp up as well. And so today, let's give you a little taste of what to expect on today's show. In our first segment, of course, we're going to review the week that we just went through, get you up to date on any roster information in terms of the Canadiens, take a look at the Canadiens prospects, and highlight some news as far as the prospect pipeline goes, and then also give you some general noteworthy things happening around the world of hockey, whether it's NHL, NCAA, so on and so forth. Just notable headlines in the hockey world from around the week. Then, in our second segment, that's when we tackle our big topic of the week. And so this week, the second segment is titled 2 Weeks to Camp, Canadiens Roster Rumblings. And this is, you know, as we've gone along each week this summer, there's been little tidbits that come out here and there. There hasn't been anything, you know, no blockbuster news this August or anything like that, but there's just been almost like these little breadcrumbs that keep getting dropped. And as we get closer to camp, there's some rumors and speculation that's starting to heat up a little bit more. We're going to talk about things like the latest and if there's any movement on Lane Hutson's contract extension. If there's been any comments or updates on the potential for Kirby Dach and his start to the season. Has there been any additional news on whether or not the Canadiens are going to trade off Carey Price's contract? There's even some really heavy rumors swirling around about Arbor Jacki being on the trade block. So those types of things and some more on top of that. We're going to dive into those, explore them, and kind of take the temperature on that kind of information and news that's starting to crop up more often throughout the week this past week. Then finally, of course, in our third segment, it's when we let you have your say. We will be reading the best responses to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. We've had some folks send in some questions that we want to answer for them. We've had some people leaving some great comments on the Hockey Hot Stove forum at hockeyhotstove.com on the Montreal Canadiens coverage and on our YouTube channel as well, including some of our polls and community posts. So lots of great responses to bring you this week. Maybe you'll agree with them. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll want to argue about it a little bit. That's okay too. All of that being said, the point is, this is an interactive podcast. We just don't want to talk at you. We want to talk with you. And so we invite you to reach out to us at any time, whether you're answering the fan question of the week, if you have a question, a comment, something that you want to say, a statement about the Canadiens, a statement about their prospects, whatever it is, send us a text at the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. You can also, of course, leave a comment on the YouTube channel. You can find our YouTube channel. Just go to insidethecanadiens.com. That'll direct you right to our YouTube channel. You don't even have to search on YouTube. Just go to insidethecanadiens.com or drop us a reply or a DM on social media. At Habs Connection is the handle that you want to use on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So let's kick things off with the memorable moments this past week for the Canadiens. I know that we recently just told you that Jake Evans and his wife, Emily, announced that they would be expecting their first child. Well, it's actually two, and they've already been born.
It's good they prepped us way well in advance. Congratulations to Jake and Emily, proud parents of twins. A great picture was Jake Evans leaving the hospital, and the photo was taken from the back, and in each hand he has a car seat walking out of down the hospital corridor. Yeah. So, yeah, congratulations
to them. He's got two little bundles of joy to keep him busy now. In terms of the Canadiens roster, the USA Hockey Olympic Orientation Camp took place this week in Plymouth, Michigan at USA Hockey Arena. Cole Caulfield, of course, participating in that camp. And as we've mentioned, Rick, before, Lane Hutson was not invited to that camp.
Yeah, there was a little bit of rumblings this week reporting that perhaps the speculation was that Lane Hutson declined an invitation to the World Championships, and maybe that played a part in USA Hockey's decision not to invite him to camp. I know that general managers from both the USA team and Canadian team have said it was important, or that was certainly a factor that played into it. I don't know if that's the case in Lane Hutson's instance. I think it's just, you know, too many similar type defensemen, and once you have Quinn Hughes there, and it's just it wasn't going to happen. A little odd that he didn't get an invitation just in case, you know, there's injuries and those kinds of things. But I'm not sure that all the talk about him, the reasons about him not being invited to camp are all that accurate.
Oh, well.
And Lane Hutson, for his part, he was interviewed this week and said, you know what, he would love to represent his country someday, but he said there's lots of great defensemen there and he wishes them the best of luck in February.
Well, Team Canada also held their Olympic orientation camp this week. Theirs took place in Calgary, Alberta. And as we have reported, Nick Suzuki, Noah Dobson, and Sam Montembeau were in attendance. And they seemed pretty excited to be there.
Absolutely. As far as their chances, the three of them, chances of making the team, with respect to goaltenders, Jordan Binnington is a lock to make the team. Montembeau and Aiden Hill were at the camp, they've said that also under consideration are Mackenzie Blackwood, Stuart Skinner, Darcy Kemper, and I think how each of them opens the season will play a big part in those other two positions. We've said before, others have said it, Sam Montembeau has something the others don't. that's always a factor, and it's not, to mention is not, being critical of Sam Montembeau. He's going to need a good start to the season as well as his heritage to be, on the Olympic team.
Definitely. What about, Nick Suzuki and Noah Dobson?
I think Noah Dobson is probably a long shot to make the team. On the right side, you've got Colton Parayko, you've got Evan Bouchard. Evan Bouchard was Noah Dobson's roommate at the camp. You have Aaron Ekblad, you have Brandon Montour. He might be a long shot to make the team. Nick Suzuki, I think, you know, he knows the situation. There's lots of good centers, there's lots of good skater forwards, he knows that this is going to be a very, very competitive field that Team Canada will have to choose from.
Pretty much every guy that's here probably thinks they deserve to be on the team, so it's a really competitive team to make. And you know, there's a lot of talent that the coaching staff and the management have to pick through. So, you know, just try to focus on myself, see what I can do at the start of the season and put my name in the hat for them.
Yeah. So he knows
what he needs to do.
Yeah, he knows what he needs to do. They all need to have that great start. What is the key? What can Nick Suzuki bring to the table to set his name apart from others?
Yeah, I think I just gotta just keep doing what I'm doing. I think I can play offensively, I can play defensively, penalty kill, power play, whatever they kind of need. I think I'm a really good tool that way that can kind of play anywhere in the lineup. So you know, just try to show my versatility throughout the season and you know, try to give myself the best shot.
Okay. Well, you know, that's, again, he knows what he needs to do. I think he's got realistic expectations. I think he understands that, you know, he's not a lock, and that there's a lot of competition that he might not be able to beat, but he also at the same time knows that his job is to put his best foot forward and to also toot his own horn and tell coaches and management, here are all the reasons why I would be an asset to your team, and basically put me in any position, in any situation, and I can be of assistance. So kind of spoken like a true captain, I guess.
Julien Brisebois is the assistant to general manager Doug Armstrong for in addition to his other duties down in Florida, is the assistant to Team Canada's general manager, Doug Armstrong. He spoke to TVR Sport about Nick Suzuki, said, we knew that Nick Suzuki was a good player. We knew what he had done in the past, and we'd followed his performances during the fall. And that was speaking about when they made the selections for Four Nations. Nick Suzuki was passed over. Brisebois goes on to say, ultimately, he wasn't selected, but he's here today because he's a player whose performances will be highly scrutinized. That's early this upcoming season. So he's in the running. Julian Breezeboe was asked about Suzuki's refusal to go to the World Championships, and he said, we're going to choose the players that are going to give us the best chance of winning the gold medal at the Olympics. If you go to the World Championships and you do well, it can work in your favor. We get to know you on and off the ice. We can see how you adjust to different situations. So, might have helped, Nick Suzuki, but it's, you know, he's not being written off because he wasn't there.
Okay. Well, at least we've cleared that up. Mm-hmm. David Reinbacher is going to a, we'll call it, it's not really a camp, but it's a showcase. He is the Montreal Canadiens representative who has been invited to the 2025 NHL Rookie Showcase. That's, of course, held every year just before rookie camps and so forth, usually down in Washington, D.C. They usually do kind of a media spread, photo shoots, that type of thing as well, where they're going to showcase some of the top rookies around the NHL, and David Reinbacher will be there this year.
The league wants to showcase its top rookies. Upper Deck, who sponsors it, wants to feature the top rookies. And for the Montreal Canadiens, David Reinbacher will be there. What does that say? Well, draw your own conclusions. But as we've said in the past, the Canadiens have been promoting David Reinbacher throughout the summer, and perhaps that says something about their expectations for him during the upcoming training camp.
However, there will not be one Ivan Dmitrov at this showcase.
No, and perhaps that's because he, you know, was involved last year at the end of the season and in the playoffs. We know that David Reinbacher only got into 10 regular season games with Laval, 23 in total. That included 13 playoff games after suffering that serious knee injury in the preseason game against the Leafs. Mm-hmm. But the Canadiens are expecting big things out of him this year.
Camp is going to be a very important moment in time for David Reinbacher this year. We'll see how his recovery has come along and what he's done over the summer. Speaking of camps and important times, it's time, Habs fans, to break out that. It's not hashtag is it October yet, but hashtag is it September yet, because it's right around the corner. And that means get your calendars out, because there are things to put on the schedule. Finally, hockey-related events are going on the schedule for the month of September. First off is the Prospect Showdown. Remember, this last year was the first year that the Canadians decided to host it instead of shipping off their young prospects to a different city to participate in a prospect tournament. Instead, the Canadians are hosting it. This will be the second year in a row that they're doing it. Last year, it was just the Canadiens prospects versus the Maple Leafs prospects. This year, just as a reminder, they've expanded it to a four-team showdown between the Canadiens, the Leafs, the Senators, and
the Winnipeg Jets,
which is a fun addition, I think, having the Jets there as well. So, yeah, Rick, that's coming up first on the September calendar.
So it will happen on that tournament will happen mini tournament on September 13th and 14th. That prior week, expect the rookie camp to get underway. Then the prospect showdown, and things are going to snowball. Once the rookie camp starts, everything is going to happen, and you're going to be drinking from a fire hose at that point.
And so that, when you think about it, okay, if the prospect showdown is on the 13th and 14th, that means rookies, as Rick said, rookies will report for rookie camp earlier that week. So really, we're probably 9 or 10 days away from rookie camp starting. It is going to be here before you know it. In fact, on Thursday this past week, the Canadians announced the team's annual golf tournament, which will take place, which we know is kind of, as we've said here on the show many times this summer, it's kind of the unofficial start of training camp for the Canadians. So, when will that be, Rick?
Monday, September 15th at Laval-sur-le-Lac, the golf club. And that's, you know, it's a big media event. It's a charity event. Sponsors are involved. Everybody's together in one place, and it's a great event. And as you said, shortly thereafter, training camp will be underway.
And it's also usually the first major press conference of the season. Usually Jeff Molson speaks before the golf tournament, as does Ken Hughes, Jeff Gordon, Marty St. Louis, some of the players. So it's a big deal. So you have the rookie camp, then the prospect showdown on the 13th and 14th. The very next day, Monday the 15th, the Canadians have their golf tournament, which likely means...
And last year at the golf tournament, that's when the marketing team had everybody speaking the same language, everybody that came to the podium. And I'm talking the owner and the hockey ops management. Everybody was talking, but coaching staff were talking about being in the mix. That was their goal for the season. What's the theme? What's the goal going to be for this year? Well, we'll find out
very soon. We're going to find out soon. That's right. So then typically training camp then follows post-haste within 24 hours after the golf tournament. And in fact, within a week of that tournament, the Canadians will play their first preseason game against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And then just a couple weeks to the season opener, and that will be in Toronto on October 8th against the Maple Leafs.
That's right. So Canadians' first preseason game against the Penguins on September 22nd, and then the regular season games start for the Habs on October 8th. It's all coming. It's here. I hope you packed all the fun into your summer that you could have, because you've only got about 7 more days before hockey is back.
And you better subscribe in those 7 days, because you're going to want to be here every single week.
That's right. Absolutely. You think we had a lot of information for you over the summer. Just wait until all of these things start happening. All right. With that being said, we talked about the prospect showdown. Well, let's take a little dive into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
The first thing we're going to do is actually give you a little bit of a news update on a former Montreal Canadiens prospect. You remember Lucas Vaidemo.
How could I forget Lucas Vaidemo? His stick is right here in the studio.
That's multiple pieces of a stick. But yes, Lucas Vaidemo, a great former prospect for the Canadians. Well, he is currently playing for Lexans in the SHL, and had a really unfortunate incident take place this week during practice, when he got hit squarely in the ear with a puck. And you can imagine how much that hurts. You can imagine the pain. But Rick, it's left him with kind of an injury that you wouldn't necessarily expect, but it's a serious one.
It's a serious one. Quote from Lucas Vaidemo, speaking to European media, quote, "This situation is really unfortunate. The puck hit my ear hard and it whistled quite a bit. It happened so fast I couldn't react. Immediately felt that it wasn't looking good. I can't hear anything in that ear anymore. Sometimes, I'm told, this injury heals on its own. Sometimes surgery is necessary. From what I understand, it's not necessary to go under the knife right away." So he's lost the hearing in one ear. They were practicing the power play, and a shot just, you know, he was unable to get out of the way. He was unable to react, and it's left him with what could be a permanent injury. We'll hope that's not the case. Vaidemo, if you forget, he was selected in the third round of the 2015 draft, 87th overall. He played 174 games for the Laval Rocket and got into 13 games for the Montreal Canadiens, and is now 29 years old. So we wish Lucas Vedamo
speedy recovery, full recovery.
Full recovery, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's scary. As we've mentioned in the past couple of weeks' episodes, 'tis the season for rankings, and this week is no different. I'm going to start with The Athletic. Corey Pronman has his 2025-26 NHL pipeline rankings. So this is, he is ranking the prospect pipelines of all 32 NHL franchises, meaning prospect meaning if the player is 22 years old or younger as of September 15th of this year.
And we always mention what the criteria is because
matters.
It's hard to compare the different rankings because they each have different criteria for what qualifies as a prospect. For Pronman, a player is eligible, as you said, if he's 22 years old or younger as of September 15th, 2025. And that's regardless of his NHL experience. Mm-hmm. So, number one in Corey Pronman's opinion is, in terms of NHL pipeline rankings, the San Jose Sharks.
I agree with that.
And that's, yeah.
That's fair.
That's reasonable. Number five in his opinion is the Montreal Canadiens. He had them sixth last year, so they move up one notch. And that's all that's fine. I won't quibble with how he's ranked his teams. But then I have to say, and this is, these rankings of pipeline rankings have caused a bit of a stir on social media, because at this point, this is where Corey Pronman goes off the rails. As we prepare for the draft, we bring on the best experts from across the hockey community.
Yeah.
There's somebody that we don't bring on, and you draw your own conclusions from that. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Montreal Canadiens player rankings, according to Corey Pronman. Number one, he has Juraj Slafkovský.
Okay.
In terms of Montreal Canadiens prospect rankings.
All right. I mean, there's probably some Slav fans who would celebrate that, but it's not who I would have as the top prospect for the Canadiens.
Well, that's the first thing that caused me to raise my eyebrow and say, really? Slafkovský ahead of Lane Hutson, Slafkovský ahead of Ivan Demidov. Okay, why is that? Why? And you go through and he either has, different criteria. He has, the NHL average for puck skills, for skating, for all those different measures. Average, below NHL average, high end or elite. So one of the reasons he's got Juraj Slafkovský so high and in his opinion, the best Canadiens prospect, he rates the compete level as high end for Juraj Slafkovský. And boy, I don't agree with him. I mean, there's things that Juraj Slafkovský brings. And when he wants to play, we see him compete hard. Mm-hmm. It's just not very consistently. And he said that the Canadiens have said that he's got to be better. Kent Hughes has said that he's got to be better in that respect. But in Corey Brownman's book, he's perfect.
Okay.
The number two player on his list is Ivan Demidov.
All right.
And he's got high end hockey sense and that sort of thing. Under skating, he's got below NHL average. Again, a little bit of a raised eyebrow here. Ivan Demidov's got some unique characteristics about the way he steps and his, but and his stance, but I think it kind of adds to his elusiveness. Anyway, in Corey Perlman's estimation, it's below NHL average.
All right.
And that puts Lane Hutson as the number three ranked prospect.
I see. The Calder winner.
Yeah.
Okay.
The quote from about Lane Hutson is, "Works hard, but he can get bullied."
Okay.
So, we'll continue down the list. I'll just read out the top 15. David Reinbacher
at number four. Okay.
Zach Bolduc, number five. Michael Hage, number six. Oliver Kapanen, number seven. Owen Beck, number eight. Alexander Zarofsky at number nine. All the way down to number 10 for Jacob Fowler. I'm going to keep going and come back for a minute. 11, Joshua Waugh. Vincent Rohr at 12. 13's Hayden Papanekis. 14, Tyler Thorpe. 15, Evgeny Volokhin. Okay. There's no Adam Engstrom.
Uh-huh.
24 goal, and I should say Adam Engstrom appears in the honorable mentions. Florian Jacky, 24 goal season in Laval last year, not on the list, not in the has a chance to play honorable mention section.
So not at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
Let's go back to number 10. Jacob Fowler, quote, "He projects as an NHL backup goalie." All right.
Okay.
So,
hey, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, even when their opinions are wrong. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Listen, if you agree with his opinions, let us know. If you disagree, let us know.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Good, bad, indifferent, agree, disagree. Send us a text, 5853-ROCKET. Moving along to elite prospects. Cam Robinson and Mitch Brown put out their top 100 affiliated prospects for the 2025-26 season.
Now, again, they call it a prospect ranking, but what do they consider prospects? Well, they leave it up to the NHL to define it for them, because any player who's still eligible for the Calder Trophy, best rookie, qualifies for their ranking. So, you know, Lane Hutson won't be in here. Yuri Slavkovsky won't be in here. So any player who's eligible, who's a rookie eligible player, will be on this list.
All right.
Now, this list is, you said, the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
They don't rank the teams. They rank the individuals in those top 100. And the number one overall
top affiliated prospect of any team.
Of any team in the NHL. And remember what the Athletic said is Ivan Demidov.
Oh, okay.
quote from their article, "Already one of the most skilled hockey players on the planet," end quote.
Yeah, but is his skating below NHL average? Sorry, I can't help myself.
As any other players on the top 100, at number 29, David Reinbacher, and their quote from his write-up is, "Project him more to be a shutdown top four role." I agree with that. Number 70, Michael Hage, could become a middle six, likely third line forward. They don't necessarily see him as a center, could be. And number 85, Owen Beck, quote, "Could become a reliable number three center." So there are four Canadians prospects in the top 100.
All right. Well, let's hear from Cam Robinson himself, one of the two people who compiled this ranking, on why Ivan Demidov is not just their, it's not that he is their number one Canadians prospect. He is the number one rookie qualified prospect across the entire NHL. And here's Cam Robinson's reasons.
Yeah, it's a player that obviously we've been very, very high on going back pre-draft as well too. But, you know, basically his season last year really solidified the belief that this is a player that could potentially be in that, you know, arguably in a top 10, top 15 player in the league. Now we're not looking at that being next year, but at the peak of his career. But, you know, with that hockey sense, that drives everything, right? The skating with Demidov is just fine. It's about league average. That's where, you know, he has a 5.0 rating, which is what we call league average. You know, the shot is a 6, so it's above average at a, you know, a top 6 option. But his passing, his handling, his sense are all elite, elite tools. And if you can have those three together, handling the puck, distributing the puck, and then the sense on where to go, how to read the plays, all those things, you can mitigate being, you know, only 6 foot tall or being just an average skater, and that can push you up into being a triple digit producer. So for the most part, a consensus, you know, Matthew Schaefer gave it a good run too, to get up into that number one spot, because he is such a gifted player as well too. But just how Demidov produced at the KHL level, how he acclimated himself in the short little time in the NHL with all eyes on him, with, you know, teams were gearing up. They knew he was coming. They wanted to put this kid, you know, in the blender a little bit too. And the way that he handled himself there too is that the sky's the limit, right? And Montreal, they've getting him at where they did. That's going to look like a steal for a lot of years.
Well, a little bit longer clip than what we normally play, but we wanted to let Cam Robinson explain completely why, in the opinion of elite prospect scouts, and you know that elite prospect scouts appeared on our pre-NHL draft podcast series, have ranked Ivan Demidov as the number one overall prospect.
I also thought it was interesting that he says that they have his skating rated at NHL average.
At average, yeah. But his hockey sense, his puck skills at elite, elite. So those comments from the Called Up podcast with Chris Peters, our friend Chris Peters, who's also appeared on this podcast, he from Flow Hockey. You want another opinion? We brought you another opinion, this one from Elite Prospects. And thanks to the audio, thanks to Cam Robinson for his audio description of Demidov.
So we've heard from Corey Prodman at The Athletic. We've heard from Cam Robinson and Mitch Brown over at Elite Prospects. So what about the Daily Faceoff? Well, Stephen Ellis has put out his top 75 NHL-affiliated skater prospects for the upcoming season. And he kicked it off. You actually heard Cam Robinson mention that they were likely going back and forth between ranking Ivan Demidov first and Matthew Schaefer first. Well, that's who, and Demidov won out for them. Well, Stephen Ellis went with Matthew Schaefer first overall.
Yeah. Top 75 skaters. So we're not going to find any goaltenders in here, but we do find a defenseman in Matthew Schaefer at the top of the list. He went number one overall at the most recent draft. To the Islanders, number two is Ivan Demidov. And Stephen Ellis, formerly a Rocket Sports writer, says, quote, is extremely creative, has quick hands, is good on his feet, and makes smart decisions. So seems to agree quite a bit with what Cam Robinson had said. In the top 75, Daily Faceoff also has number 42, David Reinbacher, and at number 49, Michael Hage.
Love it. The reason there are no goaltenders allowed to be included in that is because, well, then there is also the Daily Faceoff's top 25 NHL-affiliated goaltender prospects for the upcoming season. And I would probably agree with their number one selection.
Yaroslav Askarov, now with the San Jose Sharks. Remember, he was offered to the Montreal Canadiens during that draft in Nashville. They said no. And we know who they picked there instead. So he's at the top of the goaltender list for the Daily Faceoff. Number two is that guy who only projects to be a backup goaltender. Number two is Jacob Fowler on Daily Faceoff's top 25 NHL affiliated goaltender prospects. Canadians actually have two in the top 25, and the second is Jakub Dobish at number 22.
Excellent. Well, that's two goaltenders in the top 25. We'll take that. It's ranking season. You can see sometimes rankings can be all over the map, but there also can be some consistencies that can be found. So always interesting to see what other analysts around the league and around the hockey media landscape are thinking about the Canadiens prospect pipeline.
And we're also interested in your personal rankings, and be sure to share them with us.
Absolutely. Other notes outside of Canadiens prospects, just hockey notes in general. We're actually going to kick things off with a little bit of news from the NCAA. This is a big deal. And I don't say this is a big deal just because I live in Pennsylvania and only 3 hours from where this is going to take place. Penn State has announced, if you follow college football at all, you know that Beaver Stadium is a big deal in college football. Penn State Nittany Lions, big deal. And Penn State men's hockey have announced that they are going to host Michigan State in an outdoor game held at Beaver Stadium on January 31st. That is good. They are, if you think the football fans blow the roof, the non-existent roof in the open air Beaver Stadium, just wait until Hockey Valley packs Beaver Stadium for Penn State versus Michigan State at the end of January. That is going to be an incredible, incredible game.
Beaver Stadium is, you should know, the second largest stadium in the United States.
It is enormous.
It has a capacity of 106,572. I don't know what the capacity is going to be for hockey on that day, but there's going to be in the neighborhood of 100,000 people there. In addition, if that isn't enough to attract, to say that this is going to be a special event, playing for Penn State, we know that Gavin McKenna, the number one projected prospect for next year, committed to Penn State. He's going to be at Penn State this season. At Michigan State, and we're not talking about the University of Michigan, where Michael Hage is, but Michigan State, you have Porter Martone, you have Caden Lindstrom, you have Trey Augustine. So this is going to be a big deal for hockey at the end of January.
Absolutely. I would advise when tickets go on sale, get them early if you're going to go, because they will sell out, and they will sell out like lightning. It's going to be an amazing event. So congratulations. I will say also congratulations to Guy Gadowski and the Penn State men's hockey franchise for what they have grown over the last number of years to now be on the big stage like this for an outdoor game is quite an accomplishment. So
and getting into the Frozen Four tournament last year. Yeah,
they are growing. Really coming up there. And Guy Gadowski, who is their head coach, he has been with them from the beginning. He's helped build this program from a club sport to a Division I NCAA club, and it's phenomenal. So good luck to all involved and have fun.
Good Canadian guy.
Yeah, there you go.
No, he is.
He is. And if, hey, head over to our YouTube channel and search on our channel for Penn State, and you'll see an exclusive interview that we actually did with Guy Gadowski a few years ago when we toured around the Pagoula Ice Arena. We were there interviewing and watching Cole Caulfield when he was still playing for Wisconsin, did a little feature piece on what Hockey Valley, Penn State men's hockey means for the college and to Guy Gadowski. So go check that out on our YouTube channel. Also, for all of you gamers out there, EA Sports has released the top 10 players at each position for NHL 26. Is it any surprise that Connor McDavid tops out the forwards?
No.
Is it any surprise that Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar top out the defense?
No.
Is it any surprise that Connor Hellebuck tops out the netminders?
No. McDavid gets a rating of 97, Hughes and Makar at 95, and Connor Hellebuck at 94. The values, the ratings are also out for Montreal Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
We have Nick Suzuki at 90. That puts him 90th. Overall, in terms of the rankings.
39th overall.
What did I say?
So Nick's is
90 rating, 39th overall.
90 rating, 39th overall. There you go.
Noah Dobson, Cole Caulfield, Lane Hutson at an 88. That's 78th, 84th, and 85th overall. And as far as goaltenders, Sam Montembeau gets an 85 ranking, 189 overall.
All right. So plan your NHL 26 gaming accordingly. All right. With that, we are going to take our first break here at the Canadians Connection podcast. And guess what? Our good friends and sponsors over at DraftKings are back because NFL season is back. And there are brand new incentives and brand new ways to play with DraftKings that you're going to want to check out in this commercial break that we've got coming up for you right now. So check that out. Sign up using our special access code and then come right back for our big topic segment, 2 weeks to camp, Canadians roster rumblings. You don't want to miss it. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
NFL fans, week one is your shot to play free and stack $1 million cash bag with DraftKings Pick 6, an official partner of the NFL. Here's how. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy. Enter for free and pick more or less on 6 player stats for week one. Share your link with friends to add more cash to the bag and get bonus shots to win. If you hit all pick 6, you'll be splitting a bag that's already at $1 million or more. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, use code THPN, opt in for free, and start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost, huge upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry in Bag Builder Contest. Only perfect entries earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you'd like to follow me over on X, you can do so. Just find my handle at Flyers Rule. And once again, my co-host, who is our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens, he is also on X. He mans our overall Rocket Sports account. So you can follow him. You want to do so. It's the central place to find all of our content at Rocket Sports on Twitter. You can also follow this podcast at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And as Rick said in the last segment, if you haven't done so yet, tap subscribe right now. It takes just a second to do, whether you are listening to the podcast on a podcast platform or if you are watching on YouTube. Just take a second to tap subscribe, because it's been a really fun summer here with all of you each and every week, and it's about to get even more fun as hockey gets back to action. So we don't want you to miss a single episode. It's the last 6 months for the Canadians have really been a time of energizing their fan base, I think. Just squeaking into the playoffs and just that first taste of that playoff hope again. And then, big things happening over the summer, draft, all sorts of just constant energy and positive outlooks. And I don't know about you, Rick, but it seems like enthusiasm around the Montreal Canadiens, not just with fans, but even in the media as well, hasn't been this high legitimately, not just, oh, we just really want to hope, but legitimately good outlooks and expectations hasn't been this high for the, for quite some time. Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes have really started to do, you know, have really done their part this summer, you know, adding Noah Dobson. That's been a pretty exciting addition for not just fans, but also players as well. You see how positive that reaction has been with players as well. Zach Bolduc coming into their core of young players. So I think it's safe to say that training camp is going to be exciting. It's certainly going to be competitive, which is going to make it exciting. Preseason is going to be exciting to watch how the cutdowns go, who steps up, who gets that NHL roster job, and that really the Canadian season from puck drop on opening night on October 8th in Toronto against the Maple Leafs is just going to be brimming with excitement. So with all that being said, there's just over a week left before rookie camp, just over 2 weeks left before training camp opens. So what now? We've gotten into almost crunch time for the offseason. What are the storylines that you as a Canadiens fan should be keeping an eye on and really following over the next couple of weeks? That's what we want to explore for you in this segment today.
And there's been a number of stories that we've been following. And for those of you that have been with us over the summer, some of them, we've got some new information this week. Some of them, you know, have advanced a little bit. And some of them we're just going to catch up on the players. So what do you really need to be focusing on? What are the things you need to be talking about with your friends and family and fellow Canadiens fans and keeping an eye on over the next couple of weeks? And I think we've said this before, but it's a crucial season for Juraj Slafkovský. He has taken steps and shown his potential for periods of time. He's been a valuable member of that top line at times, but not yet has he evolved into that consistent force, that impact player on the top line. So we wondered about what he's been doing, his training. We know he was picked once again, we announced that last week, as the Slovakian player of the year. And the Canadiens this past week put out a video that was highlighting his summer training in Slovakia and got some quotes for him. And here's one where he's talking about the team goals for this upcoming season.
Me and I think all of us, we know what we want to achieve. So yeah, there is not any special preparation. You just have to work hard and make sure you're ready. You're ready to play.
Yeah. So I think a man of few words, and he's rather than spell it out, he's making the point that we know what we have to do. I know what I have to do. Mm-hmm. I just have to do it. He talks in terms of the team, but I think he's also talking about in terms of himself. He needs to go out and play every single game with the intensity, consistent intensity over the course of the season.
And who knows, maybe watching someone like Ivan Demidov, who has no quit button, like, at all. He's just constantly grinding. That could rub off on him in a good way as well. So,
and we made the point with respect to Demidov and Slafkovský that Slafkovský's really had no one to push him, no one to threaten his position on that top line.
Demidov will.
Demidov may do that after a time.
We will see. I did just mention Noah Dobson his addition to the roster certainly shook things up, certainly well received by many fans, by many players on the Canadiens roster. Well, he arrived in Montreal this past week prior to heading out for Hockey Canada's orientation camp for the Olympics. Met with the press, and first off talked about a little bit about what a special summer this has been.
Yeah, it's been awesome. All great experiences, obviously. Really excited to be joining Montreal. Just a great organization, top to bottom, owners, management, coaches, and obviously the players and the talent on the team's exciting. And then getting married on top of it's been great as well. And then to be here now to kind of round out the summer. And I'm really enjoying taking everything in and just trying to enjoy it.
So not a bad summer for Noah Dobson.
No.
When he lists the things that have been on his list. He was in Montreal earlier in the summer, dropped by to pick up some equipment. But this is the first time that he met with the media. He joined his teammates on the ice in Brossard and wearing his number 53. Then, as you said, headed out to the Olympic orientation camp for Team Canada. So for his summer, he was involved in a big trade, mm-hmm. big acquisition by the Montreal Canadiens. Then he got married. We talked about that. And then finds himself at Olympic camp. So pretty
kind
exciting.
Kind of a whirlwind summer.
Yeah, pretty exciting summer for Noah Dobson.
So in the midst of all that, since this is the first kind of real significant time, even though he wasn't there too long, but as you said, got to skate at Brossard and so on and so forth, what are his first impressions of Montreal?
Yeah, it was great. Got in Saturday, spent a couple days, and then skated Monday with the guys. Not everyone's in town yet, obviously, but quite a few of the guys. Great group, heard nothing but good things. Everyone was great, welcoming, and just super excited. You can see the passionate fans in the city, and everyone's excited for the season, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so he got to skate on Monday, and as far as his on the defensive side of the team, Lane Hutson was on the ice with him, Caden Gooley, Alex Carrier, Jaden Struble, David Reinbacher, they were all there. So he got the only one missing was Arbor Jacki, he got to meet all of his teammates.
So does that mean that he was able to get a sense about who he might be partnered with on the blue line?
We've chatted a little bit, yeah, but haven't gotten into too specifics. No news to break for you today. Obviously, I think we're going to have a great back end. Lots of different skill sets. I'm excited to play with whoever. It's going to be great. And it's been great to get on the ice with them now and until camp to start building chemistry with guys. And I think it's been a great group overall.
So diplomatic.
He knows how to handle the media. Not going to break any news here for you guys. Whether he knows or he doesn't know, and he probably doesn't, he wasn't going to release
feed that. No.
Yeah, to feed that media.
No.
So good for him. And then says the diplomatic thing, it doesn't matter who he's going to be playing with.
And so that is, you know, that storyline to follow over the next few weeks is going to be, how does Dobson look at training camp? Who are the different defensive partners that they test him with? And which one of them is he going to eventually be assigned with to start the season? And what kind of impact is that going to have for the defense of the Montreal Canadiens this year? It's a big question that we're about to get an answer to, and it has a lot of ramifications for the season going ahead. And so it's an exciting one to keep an eye on. Kirby Dach was also on the ice in Brossard this week. We've talked about Kirby Dach quite a bit over the last few weeks. With, you know, everything from can he live up to you know, can this be the year that he finally makes a big difference, to, oh no, now he might not start the season, to, you know, all, everything in between. But he was on the ice in Broussard this week. And have we had any updates about that? Obviously, this is still a storyline that's important to follow, important to focus on over the next couple of weeks leading up to training camp.
We've been talking about the players who've been at Broussard for the last month, and many of them had spent the summer in Montreal. And, you know, we talk about a handful of players here and there. Now, there's more than a dozen players every single day, Canadians players, mm-hmm. As well as some others. There's son of a general manager, and but there's at least a dozen Canadians players every single day. One of them is Kirby Dach. Kirby Dach was involved in some drills with Adam Nicholas, and looked pretty good. He was on the ice on Friday, got involved in a scrimmage. So it's hard to know what exactly is going on. You know, it seems like the Canadians are trying to be cautious. We heard Kent Hughes say there's a possibility that he might miss a couple of weeks at the beginning of the season. So what is going on? Should we be reassured, seeing him on the ice? Well, I mean, he's going to be tested in training camp. And I expect the Canadians to be very cautious with him. We heard our medical expert last week on the show, and if you missed that, you want to hear what Dr. Stephen Morris said about a player who's had two injuries in the same knee. So go back and hear that, CanadiansConnection.fm. Mm-hmm. The Canadians don't want to risk him having another injury, so they're going to be very cautious with him. For sure. But sure, there's all kinds of questions about Kirby Dach. What is his injury status? Can he be the second line center? Is he a center even? What's his effectiveness going to be? I think, you know, at the start of the season, it's kind of his position to lose, but, you know, how are things going to play out over the course of the training camp? And we've said this before in other training camps, but Kirby Dach is a really huge story to follow during over the next few weeks.
Definitely. Slavkovsky, Dobson, Dach, Arber, Jacki has started appearing much more frequently in headlines this week, because there are some rumors swirling that the Toronto Maple Leafs would like to acquire him.
Yeah, and it's not that the Canadians have put Arber Jacki on the trade block or anything like that. It's just from reports out there, the Toronto Maple Leafs, this one comes from Jeff Hanna, he said that they're looking to add more toughness to their lineup. We know that they've added Michael Pezzetta. We know that they've added Dakota Joshua. Both can add grit to their lineup. But there's something special about Arber Jacki. He's got that intimidation factor, which the Toronto Maple Leafs have been missing for a long, long time.
And his chemistry with Pezzetta in that sphere as well.
From Jeff Hanna, they said he kind of speculated a second round pick plus a depth player from Montreal would be enough to get it done. From other sources, reportedly the Canadians are looking for a first round pick. Going into the season, there's questions about where Arber Jacki fits in the lineup. Is he the seventh defenseman? If David Reinbacher, is brought into the equation, does that push Arber Jacki down even further than that? Balance that with Marty St. Louis saying he considers his top seven to be, he wouldn't want anybody else. He considers his top seven the best in the NHL. And So it's hard to know where it's at, but there, this is a situation that needs to be watched.
It definitely does. The other thing that needs to be watched that we've had basically crickets on all summer, and people have been clamoring for news on it for at least 2 months, is Lane Hutson's contract extension. Now, he's entering the last year of his ELC, so he will be contract extension eligible next summer. But, you know, fans want to get him locked in right now.
Fans do. Probably the Canadians do as well. And they'd like to buy up some of those free agent years. You know, you wonder from the Hutson side why they would be in a rush. I don't know why they would be in a rush. And it seems like they're taking their time. Frank Saravelli from Daily Faceoff, speaking about the contract extension, said, "I don't think there's been a ton of progress. I think there's some initial talks and they're still looking at that. I think the ballpark is in the Brock Faber range." Brock Faber at 8.5 AAV. If the Canadians were able to lock him up for 8.5, that would be an absolute steal, in my opinion. And in addition to Brock Faber, I think you look at Quinn Hughes, you look at Jake Anderson as comps. Jake Sanderson. And I think rather than the numbers, you want to be looking at the percentage of the cap these days. Mm-hmm. I think that's how contracts are going to work rather than the AAV. Saravelli goes on to say the Canadians are more than willing to step up and write a check for Lane Hutson to be a Canadian for a long, long time. I just don't know what the Hutson appetite is on that end. So maybe that's why this is taking longer than Canadians fans would like, but don't be concerned. Shouldn't be concerned about it. You know, and there's other things in motion with respect to the blue line. How's Reinbacher going to fit in? Is he going to want a spot? Mike Matheson in his last year, is he a trade chip now or maybe at the trade deadline? Arbor Jacki, as we just mentioned. So lots of things going on.
We had heard Cam Robinson over at Elite Prospects a few moments ago talking about his ranking with Ivan Demidov, but he's also chimed in on the Lane Hutson extension, and he has said that for those who are waiting on that extension, don't expect anything to really get going until his camp, meaning Hutson's camp, sees what Luke Hughes signs for. And even then, both sides have really viable reasons for waiting until next offseason. I don't think fans or the Canadians probably don't want to wait until next offseason to get this deal done.
Well, be patient. Be patient. This could take a while.
It could. Well, let's hear from Lane Hutson himself. Probably not about his contract extension, but he does. He did have a comment this week on what his the goal for this season is.
Yeah, I think everyone's really motivated when you get a taste of playoff hockey, and you know you feel it, and you feel as if you're, you know, close, even though there's a lot of games to go in playoff hockey. It's a special feeling, and you know I think we're gonna do everything we can to get back to that, and I'll do better there too.
Lane Hutson was at an event raising money for Ronald McDonald House, a charity that is near and dear to his heart. The folks that were organizing said, "Hey, listen, don't ask about the contract. He's not going to answer questions about that." But there's lots of other things to talk to Lane Hutson about, and that I think he laid out the goal for the season and the feeling from all of the players that, listen, they had a taste of the playoffs last year, and they'd like to get there again.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely would. Can they do that again this year? Well, they do have Ivan Demidov now as a new tool in the toolbox. And Lane Hutson made a comment on his thoughts on what's so special about Ivan Demidov.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just an ingrained hockey brain that he has. It's his intelligence on the ice, it's pretty special, and it's rare to see it at, you know, as a younger guy coming into the league. So watching what he's able to do with the puck and, you know, the plays he sees that a lot of guys maybe miss, it's really cool.
Ivan Nemeanov has, a lot of times he's been doing two-a-days at Brassard. He's been on the ice a lot. He's very focused. He's spending a lot of time with Patrick Laine. And there you heard Lane Hutson saying, answering the question, what's special? Well, it's his hockey brain. It's his hockey sense. And that everything flows from that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's going to be when you think about the makeup of the roster this year and the young talent that's really exciting. This team is going to be fun to watch.
Absolutely.
So does that mean now that the Calder Trophy winner can't even go out in Montreal anymore? Does he get mobbed by fans when he's out?
I mean, I don't go out often, so... yeah, I mean, maybe every once in a while, but tread, you know, home in the rink. That's it.
He's focused. Demidov's focused. Lane Hudson's focused.
Yeah, that's right.
Home and the rink. And at home, he said his mom's going to be living with him, part-time, checking in on his brothers as well. But yeah, he's very, 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 very focused.
Absolutely. So good luck to him. Good luck with the contract negotiations. It's just another thing for us to keep an eye on. Will we get an answer before training camp? Probably not, I would think. But we can hope. We can hope. All right. Our Canadians Connection question of the week. I think this one's going to be polarizing. I think there's going to be some passionate answers on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade Arbor Jacki for a first-round pick? Or is his physical edge just too valuable? And I can hear people racing to pull out their phones to send us a reply on whether or not they'd be willing to get a first-round pick and trade away Arbor Jacki. Send us your comments. You can text us at 5853-ROCKET. You can leave a comment on our YouTube channel. You can send us a reply or a DM at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can also leave a comment on the forum at hockeyhotstove.com, the Montreal Canadiens forum. We want to hear your replies because we are going to take the best ones, and I guarantee there's going to be some good ones on this question. We're going to take your best responses and read them on the show next week. Would you trade Arbor Jacki for a first-round pick? Or is his physical edge just too valuable? Would you be willing to let the sheriff go? Let us know. We want to hear from you. And after we take one last quick break here on the Canadians Connection podcast, we are going to bring you the best responses to last week's question of the week. There are some really good ones. You're not going to want to miss them. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
NFL fans, week one is your shot to play free and stack a $1 million cash bag with DraftKings Pick 6, an official partner of the NFL. Here's how. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy. Enter for free and pick more or less on 6 player stats for week one. Share your link with friends to add more cash to the bag and get bonus shots to win. If you hit all pick 6, you'll be splitting a bag that's already at $1 million or more. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, use code THPN, opt in for free, and start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost, huge upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry in Bag Builder Contest. Only perfect entries earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to episode 363 of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, give us a follow on social media, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform and on YouTube, and don't forget to send in your responses. We want to hear from you because we want to tell everyone what you have to say. And you, the only way that we can pick your response as one of the best is if you submit them. So be sure to get your answers into this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Would you trade Arbor Jacki for a first round pick? Or do you think that the tough guy is just too valuable there on the blue line? Before we get to last week's question of the week, don't forget to follow all of our written content, particularly now that the season is starting to ramp up. Our new home for our written content this season is hockeyhotstove.com. Go there, click on the Canadiens logo, and that'll take you straight to the Canadiens coverage, which we are proud to be bringing to you. There will be, of course, articles from Chris G. Rick will have some write-ups there once the hockey action gets started. I'll occasionally pop in as well, so be sure to visit us over at hockeyhotstove.com. I mentioned before, be sure you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's over at insidethecanadians.com. Lots of fun to be had. Also, when you're on Hockey Hot Stove, click on the forums tab. Find the Montreal Canadiens forum. There are so many conversations happening, so many friendly debates happening about the Montreal Canadiens, and you want to jump in on that for sure. So last week, before we get to the question of the week, I just wanted to once again remind folks that if you prefer to listen to the podcast on a podcast player, another reason that you want to be sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel is we send out a subscriber post on the community tab in your timeline feed every single day. And fans and subscribers really seem to have a lot of fun with this. Sometimes we ask questions for you to answer. We do polls quite often. In fact, we had, we had a couple of polls this week. Actually, there's a new poll that just came out a few hours ago asking you which area of the Canadiens game is going to improve the most this season, the power play, the penalty kill, the defensive depth, or the forward scoring. Make sure you get your votes in on that one. We had a popular poll just a few days ago that you can still get your vote in on this one. It says, do you believe the Canadiens will finish the season as a playoff team? Your choices are yes, they'll be comfortably in the mix. They'll be a bubble team, but they'll squeak in. They're just going to miss the cut, or no chance. And currently, 52% of you say that they're going to be a bubble team, but they're going to squeak in.
All right.
So make sure you get your votes in on that one. Also asked you all a question saying, we know that predictions in August are risky. It's frankly why we wait till September or October to do our predictions. But hey, it's hockey talk season. And so we asked you, what is your bold prediction for the Canadiens this year? Go wild. And we had someone say that the bold prediction is, this is at Grand Crowdad Ford E6127. He says, playoffs for sure. And his bold prediction is he's going to say 14th place overall and a round one win. That's a bold prediction.
All right.
It's a reasonable but bold prediction. We like it. So be sure you visit the community post tab over there on YouTube. There's a lot of fun stuff that happens there. And make your voice heard that way. Last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week was, do you believe that this will be the Canadiens' breakout season? Why or why not? And we had a lot of responses to this, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with, I'm going to go ahead. I'll take the first one. This is from the Hockey Hot Stove Forum. This was from Mash. He's one of the frequent commenters on the forum over there. He says, I don't think it is likely this will be the Habs' breakout season. I suspect this will be a season where they likely make the playoffs, but not sold on them absolutely making it. And so I will say that kind of goes in line with where the poll is at right now, that a lot of people are saying they'll be a bubble team, but they're going to squeak in.
For sure. And then Mash has, he's gone into a great bit of detail here. We're going to kind of summarize his concerns. He explains them, but his concerns are about the second line and Kirby Dach and Patrick Laine, concerns about the penalty kill, and concerns, a little concern, he's a little concerned about goaltending as well. And then he finishes up by saying
that the Habs are still a bubble team, but I expect them to be a more exciting and fun to watch team in 2025-26.
Mm-hmm.
Great response. Thank you so much, Mash. We appreciate you chiming in. We love to hear your, we love to read your comments on the forum. Keep them coming. And thanks for chiming in on this particular question. Rick, I'm going to let you handle this one. You received an email from a listener.
Sure, you can send an email to us if you wish. Hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. Hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. And this was with respect to Carey Price and whether his contract will be traded. We said that there's a bonus that's due to be paid to him as of September 1st. So it was speculated that after that date, after the September 1st, that's coming up, there's a possibility that his contract could be traded. There's another number of teams that may be interested. The Chicago Blackhawks are reportedly interested in taking that on. And why would they do that? Well, to get up the cap floor and that they may get an asset in order to do the favor of taking on that contract. Why would Kent Hughes do that? Well, give him increased flexibility to perhaps make a trade before the season starts. And this came in by email from Paul in Montreal. And Paul said, I was listening to your most recent podcast and you referenced the bonus payment to Carey Price. My question is, the payment made by the team or by the insurance company? Interesting.
Good question.
It is a great question.
And maybe some of you were thinking the same thing.
Sure. And Paul's a loyal listener. We hear from him from time to time. And it's my understanding that the team pays the salary. The checks come from the Montreal Canadiens. The team is going to play and pay any bonuses of any of the injured players directly. And then they'd submit a claim to the insurance company that if it's an insured contract, and most are, the insurance company typically covers 80% of the salary for any injured players. So Canadians would pay it and they'd likely get reimbursed is the answer, and at least the way I understand things.
Well, that would be handy. Very good question, Paul. Thanks so much for sending that in. And we're happy to take any of your questions out there. So heading over to our YouTube channel now. This is going back to asking, do you believe this will be the Canadiens' breakout season? Why or why not? At David Glassberg simply says 104 points.
That would be a very good season.
I think that would equate a breakout season.
A step forward.
Uh-huh. 104 points. Thank you, David Glassberg. That's a short and sweet, but a good answer. What else do we have?
At Unruhlian says, if Bolduc improves, Slaff improves, and Hudson, Suzuki, and Caulfield are as good as they were last season, well, we're third in the division.
All right. That's a...
I think that's a breakout that. As well.
I think that's a breakout too. That would be a good scenario. And we have at Grand Crow Dad Ford E6127. He says, squeaking in last year, this year they should get in okay. I see 98 plus points. And this was, he also had said the, you know, playoffs for sure. I'm going to say 14th place overall, round one win. And he says, and only 42 days till game one, October 8th, the Maple Leafs. He is ready to go.
Yeah.
We like that enthusiasm. In fact, go ahead, flood our YouTube comments section with as big and boisterous of a Go Habs Go wave as we can get going. Just log in and Go Habs Go it all up and tell us what you're excited about. I know we're excited. It's hard to believe that camps are almost here. And Rick, it's been a fun summer, but it's time to get to business now.
It is. Enjoy your long weekend.
That's right.
Happy Labor Day for both Canadian and our American friends. And enjoy yourself. Be safe. Be ready for a lot of hockey coverage coming your way from Rocket Sports.
Absolutely. In fact, the next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast will be right back here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Saturday, September 6th, 2025. September 6th. Oh, my goodness. And we'll be here with all of the latest, probably lots more news to bring your way. You don't want to miss it. Thanks so much for joining us right here on the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.